Happy New Year. So good to see you here today. And we need to be praying for our folks that are traveling. We still got folks out of town. The whole Sidner clan, I believe, is out of town this weekend. Others are gone in the sickness. I hope you receive that prayer. We'll pray again during our ministry time today that God will protect us from the rest of us from whatever that is that's going around. We've got folks that have guests with them here today. Artie, you've got some people with you here today, don't you? Who? All right. So good to see y'all here today. And Donna Lando has some people with her today. Who do you have, Donna? We welcome y'all today. Kathy taught me in Sunday school way back when. Don't blame it on her. Known Kathy most of my life, and it's a blessing to have y'all here with us today. Anybody else? We got any other? Yes, I really can't see who is back there. But Lord, we pray you'll answer these prayers that have been voiced out loud right now and the many others. Lord, as our brother was speaking, others have been thinking the same thing today. And so we come in unity today and ask you that, Lord, you'll come and grant these requests today according to your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is good to see you today. If you'll look in your bulletin, look on that flap in your bulletin, you'll see verse of the year. You see that? Verse of the year? What does it say there? What does it say, Deb? All right. Next Sunday, we're going to introduce our new verse for 2011. But I want you to be thinking about that verse as your homework for next week, okay? If you don't have a bulletin, you'll get one way out. Happy New Year to all of you. And I hope you will hear today's message, not just with your physical ears, but with your heart. If you have a Bible, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading verse 25. I'm reading from the NIV today. I know I've told several of you called me over the holidays and were asking me about, ostensibly about gifts to give, you're going to give a Bible to people, and I'll let you know. I usually read out either New American Standard or the New Living. And I'll start out the new year by reading from the NIV. I apologize. But this is the one I had for today. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothing? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin. Yeah, I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown to the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You believe that? Let's pray together. Ask you, Lord, as you open your word to us and open our hearts to hear from you. Lord, I pray that the things that are said today from in this service, that you'll be the Holy Spirit, that you'll be the filter for them. Lord, I'm asking you for the things that are said that are absolutely in concert with your will and purpose, that they'll stick like Velcro. And God, all that is not will just fall to the ground and will not be thought of again. Speak to us today, Lord. And when I say us, I say first of all me. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, the key verse for today is that Matthew 6:33. We'll come back to it in just a little bit. Let me begin by asking you some questions. Questions to begin this new year. Are you presently living the life that you always wanted? Are you living that life? That life you have now? Now, be honest. Now, think about these introspective questions. Is they do absolutely no good. They're a waste of time without honesty. Okay. Are you living the life that you dreamed about? I'm not asking you, do you have all the stuff you thought you wanted at one time? You know, the thing about stuff is this. Once you get it, it's never what you thought it was going to be, is it? Never. Never. Because it's stuff. And this year's stuff, we were talking earlier about clothing. And I wish I had saved all of my valuable clothes, like my double-knit leisure suits that I had. They'd be extremely valuable today. In fact, I've had teenagers come and raid my closet before just to see if I was just holding out on them and didn't have any of that stuff. Last thing I asked Brandon before he went back to Athens this time, by the way, the bearded guy that was with us last Sunday, I've had to ask everybody's forgiveness for not introducing him to y'all. Some of you don't know him. But I asked him, I said, you want to take one last look at Dad's wardrobe just to think, see if there's anything from 30, 40 years ago in there that you'd like to have, you know. I think he's gotten all the good stuff. Of course, Audrey said that some of my 25-year-old pairs of shoes are going to have to go, so maybe some of y'all are in need of some of those. All right, another question. With the arrival of New Year, do you expect your life to be different? I'm sure there was an article in today's paper, something about the new year, something about resolution, something about changing over life, and things being different. You turn the calendar, magically, it's different, right? Third question. That was a trick question, the last one. What have you changed in your life since last week that would warrant such a difference in the outcomes of your life? You changed anything yet? Or are you just sitting on the same set of presuppositions about life, same values, same everything? You've not changed any of your activity, and yet you're thinking this magical thing's going to happen to you. It's all going to be different. Suddenly the IRS is going to start sending you money instead of you sending them money. And suddenly, you know, when you pay $10 for one of those $5 hamburgers, they're going to give you $20 back in change, right? Fourth question. Aren't you tired of just talking about a different life? Wouldn't you like it to really be different? You think that might be something, a little shot across the bow God has given us today, an adjustment for our lives in the world? Is the world the same today As it was a year ago, 2 years ago. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you think that our world is just clicking along and it's the same, man, you've been in a hole somewhere. You've dug in somewhere. There are radical changes that have taken place in the world in the last 2 years, 2.5 years. They've radically changed. Just go back and even read what the pagans, we read about them a moment ago. Read just what the pagans have to say about the world. I'm not talking about some super spiritual somewhere. I know we probably got a lot of those here today. Title of today's message is Time to Live Life. It's time. It's time in America. Time for us, for Christians to start living the life that Jesus laid out before us. The life He desires. The life He had planned. Jesus gives the life, but we must live the life. You see, you can receive a gift, but does the gift actually make any difference in your life? Like that old redneck boy that received, you know, was splitting wood, cutting wood on his farm using an axe, and someone gave him a chainsaw. A month later, he came back. He said, man, how's that working out with a chainsaw? Oh, he said, man, this thing's useless. It won't cut anything. And a guy who gave it to him comes in and picks it up, grabs it in one hand, pulls on the rope, boom, and all of a sudden, boom, and God said, what's that sound? You see, God's waiting on us to pull the rope. What's going to release His promises into our lives? It's our faith. John 10:10 says this, thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have and have it more abundantly. A life that is full, rich, meaningful. God, He gives the life, but we've got to live the life. To walk in His life as if everything He says to us is true. Isn't that an interesting way of looking at things? There have got to be some structural changes in our lives. Things have to change. You know, the definition of insanity, you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. Now, I guess a lot of us are insane by that definition. We need a shift, overused word here, in our paradigm of life. We look at things. Need structural changes. Instead of saying one thing and doing another, there needs to be unity in that. We need to quit thinking like Greeks and start thinking about like Hebrews. Greek thought had, I had this life up here, this celestial dream world life that's over here, and then I'm living in this fleshly life over here. No. In the Hebrew way of thinking, your what you said and what you did went together. That's why it's so important what people's names names were. Because their name, every time you spoke a person's name, you spoke who they were. And who they were is defined not just by what's said in their lives, but what they do. Talk's cheap. Must be followed up with action. Instead of keeping our distance, we need to wade into the changes that will give us the life that God promised to us. To wade in with faith, knowing, but we shrink back in fear. We think, oh, how am I going to be able to do that? You're never going to be able to do that. That's the answer. Only by God's power. Empowering you and me to be the people of God. They'll give us the power to live the life. Instead of staying the same, we need to reorder our lives by God's way of thinking. Scriptural admonition that speaks of that is put on the mind of Christ. Put on His mind. Think like Him. In fact, it's even closer than that, because He says that He will come, when He comes into us, He sets up residence in us so that it is Jesus who is living His life out through us. That makes sense if we let Him. Let's talk about living the life for just a moment. We read that scripture in Matthew 6:33, seeking first His kingdom. Well, that's the first thing we need to do. We must seek His kingdom first. Now, that's not popular in America. Popular churchianity in America has this idyllic life where you can kind of keep your suburban lifestyle intact with no changes while you give lip service to some kind of allegiance to Jesus. And there are never any changes in your life. Only thing is, how's that working out right? Answer to that question, not too good. That lifestyle, that brand of Christianity is under judgment right now in America. And in the West, isn't it? We don't want to hear when our brothers and sisters around the world and other countries all over the world right now when they talk about that thing called suffering. God has a plan for all people, for all time. No, Jesus said, seek first. That implies that there's a second and a third thing. As we look at a larger expanded passage, we can see Matthew 6:33 in its context. Not getting caught up in seeking the things of the world. And I guess here, 2.5 years into the bust in America, there's probably less things in the world to seek than there were 2.5 years ago. Or at least on paper. On the statement at the end of fiscal year, you know, there's less of it. Or at least there is in my retirement plan. I don't know about yours, what's happened to years in that time. You know, he refers to we need to eat and we need shelter. By the way, those two other things that most of us in this room have never had to worry about. Anyway, never been an issue. There are a few of us in this room that have had to think about that before. Most of us in the West have never had to think about that. Need clothing, need shelter. But the first thing is seeking first His kingdom, His righteousness. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, first thing it means, there needs to be a change in vision, the way we see things. We need to begin to see things through God's eyes. We have very limited vision. Wouldn't you agree with that? Do you agree or not? Can you get tunnel vision? Where all you can think about is what? That unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. And all three of us agree. You see, I can preach about all these things because I'm just looking at my own life. Oftentimes we can only see what's right in front of us. Only do that all too well. Sometimes don't even see that. You know? I know some of you have thought before, you've seen some of my outfits that I've worn out of the house, that I didn't even get past looking any farther down here. Who can see around the next corner? Oh, the next hilltop. Is He Lord of that too? Does He know what's going to happen then? I bet He does. Do you? We got a lot of smart people in America, don't we? They're real smart people, right? They knew all of this that was going to happen to us that's happened in the last 2.5 years, right? Wrong on that count. Smartest people in the world. Greatest economists. Greatest people in matters of social concern. That all figured out, right? Wrong again. You see, there's only one person who knows it all. He says, seek My kingdom first. It also means a change in values, not only a change of vision, but a change of values. What are the irreducible minimums? That which in your life, your code of conduct, that which you will not compromise under any circumstances. Those are your values. When the chips are down, when the chips are up, when the game's going great, when the game's not going great. Oftentimes when the game's not going great, that's when you find out who we really are, right? When the circumstances aren't all headed in your direction. When the scab's been knocked off of it, and there you are, raw before the world. That's when we see who we really are. What values do we hold dear? And where are values rooted? In Him, in His Word, in His plan, or in us, in our plan? And do we just kind of use this as the something we can wave around? I remember this preacher years ago. I watched him. And he preached at a lot of these conferences, and if he saw the crowd start to kind of waver a little bit on him, he'd throw his Bible up in the air and do this, and he'd start talking about inerrancy and all that stuff. That wouldn't mean anything to most of y'all, but anyway, It whipped them back up, and you know, then he was back in it, you know. He had them back on his side, and I thought, man, how cheap. What does it mean? It means a change of heart also. Maybe we need a little heart surgery. Notice I said a little heart surgery. How do you have a little heart surgery? It's kind of like major and minor surgery. It's never minor surgery when it's on me. Maybe we need to ask God to renew our cold heart. Ask Him to give us a heart after Him and Him alone. Him to do something in us that only He can do. Not us. Not me. I can't do it. You see, it really isn't that I have a choice as to whether or not it's going to change. He's the only choice. He's the only one that can change me and you. We've also, not only do we seek His kingdom, but we must seek His righteousness. He said, my kingdom and my righteousness. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, the first thing, if we're going to seek His righteousness, that means that we've got to be willing to spend time daily with Him. Because you can't have His righteousness without Him. So spending time in this book. Let me tell you, let me make you a promise. You open this book every day and you ask God to speak to you through His Word, you know what He'll do every single day? He'll speak to you. He'll even speak through a genealogy that's written in here to you. If you let Him. And it's exciting to open this book each day and say, oh God, what do you have for me today? What are you going to speak to me today? And then to say, and 9 out of 10 times that happens to me, sometime during the day, that passage, what am I about to say? It comes back. God speaks it back to me or through me to someone else. You believe He's big enough to do that? You know He is. So if we're going to spend time daily with God, that means and seek His righteousness first, and means we're also going to have to pray. Pray. Forget the rote prayers. Forget the God bless, you know. Just talk to Him. And say, Lord, speak to me today. And the things are on your heart. And it's probably the way I'm wired. I'm not a linear thinker at all. I'm a circular thinker. But those old books where you had the line out, and that probably gives some of you in here. My wife is one, because we're mirror images. She's the exact opposite of me in that the list of the things would be a comfort and to go through that. But to me, that's frustrating. I just want out there. So what I'm saying to you today is, however God leads you in prayer, if it means getting a book and you write it down, or if it would take 10 dozen scholars 100 years to figure out what your journal said and put it all together, whichever way, pray. Bring it before God. Let your day be a day of prayers. You seek His righteousness. Because the only way you're going to know what He has to say is to ask Him. And let Him speak. It also means, well, seek His righteousness. It means that we're going to live in community with other Christians. What does that mean? That means being together, living life together, being a part of one another's lives. You know, structurally, as we have it set here, that means not only are we here on a Sunday together in a large group, but we're in small groups and life groups together as we're living out one another's lives together. We need one another. The other day, I need help. I need manual labor. I happen to be in a life group with John Bonifacio. Ringy dingy. Help. I'm already on my way. We had a ball. Every trip to Walmart ain't to get stuff. It's living out in community with one another. Not separated, but living life together. And I know that's a hard concept in the West, but it's getting easier as money, as we can't hide behind money anymore. It also means we need a gathering for worship with the body, for instruction, for fellowship, for encouragement, for eating all this good health food that we enjoyed together today, to be gathered together as the body. What a beautiful, was that fun back there or what? Was it? Really? I mean, this elbow thing, it didn't stop, so more exercising taking place back there. And when they weren't chewing, they were talking. It was just like we couldn't get it all in. There wasn't enough time to get it all in. But gathering together, there's no replacement for that. There's no way. Listen to me on this. There's no way you can just gather once a month and be in fellowship with people. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. I'm away for a week. And you know who I'm thinking about? You. Because I love you. I enjoy being with you. It's just kind of a ramp up getting me ready for heaven. Because you know what? We're stuck together forever. You better start getting used to it now. It also means taking responsibility for your own Christian growth. Well, I bring my kids to church, and I expect the church to train them in all the spiritual things that they'll need. Hogwash. That is not what the Bible teaches. As a parent, who is responsibility for, has the responsibility for your children? Who? You. And as an adult, as a believer in Jesus, who has responsibility for you to get fed? You! That means daily with Him. Then, when we gather together, it just brings a synergy, a Holy Spirit synergy to our gathering. Finally, What does it mean to seek His righteousness? It means that we've got to choose to act differently under God's power. Go ahead and say, "I can't," but let your next statement be, "But God can through me." Because every time He uses one of us, He uses a crooked stick to hit a straight lick. Every time. Every time. Start making the right choices. Act differently. What does that mean? Well, as we begin the new year, how are you going to eat during the coming year? Ooh, let's start right with the hard stuff, dust. I'm a larger man at the end of 2010 than I was at the beginning. I think I'd like to be a smaller man. How about treating your children, your spouse? Is God speaking to you about that? Are you doing the right thing? Are you acting according to the will and purpose of God? Does God want you to act differently than you are now? Some of us are living daily with fear in our lives that is ungodly. God wants to lift that from your life and give you freedom to live before Him without fear. How about all those relationships? Family relationships, relationships at work. How about all the list of other things that where God's calling on you to act differently? What are you going to do? We need to call out for help. Here's some action steps for you. Three of them. Don't put off the blessing one more day. God wants to bless you today. He wants to bless you with a change of heart today. What are you going to do about it? Secondly, you need to make a decision about the things that we've talked about today. Is it good or not? Is it God or not? Up to you. And finally, you need to trust God to do what He's promised to do. Now, Ted, you awake? You see that right there? What does that look like? A wad of wires, multicolored. And some of the wires themselves have more than one color on them. Now get this. This is what I looked like the first of this past week. I had my head in the dash of Logan's truck. That great radio that he had in his truck. His brother and sister had given him a new one. And Dad said, "I'll replace it for you, son. Be a 10-minute job." That was at 4:30. What time does the sun go down? It's dark and it's cold. And I'm up to my earlobes in the wires, and Logan says, "Shouldn't you call somebody, Dad?" How about Mr. Ted? My brother in Christ. "Hey, Ted, how's everybody? What you doing?" I know he's waiting for the next question. "I'm in trouble, Ted." And just like a crisis intervention counselor, he came out on the ledge. I was about to jump. And he talked to me off the ledge. I said, "Ted, the wires, they change colors. They're connected. The clip doesn't work. Is there an adapter? You can just plug it in." "No dust, no, none of that." He said, "Now, wait just a second." He said, "Now, what are the colors of the wire?" He said, "Now, take that color and move it over. And take that color. See a white one? Take that one and move it over." And piece by piece by piece. And he got through. He said, "Now, how many do you have left?" I said, "None. They're all accounted for." Click. And it worked. Now let me tell you. Some of us have got this view of our lives coming to the end of 2010. And God wants to put them all in the right place. It's time to live the life. Logan believed that because he wanted a new radio. He wanted tunes when he was riding. But you got to know where they connect. You need an expert. You need somebody that knows more than you know, who can tell you what to do. Now, who are you going to call? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. Do you get it, sweetheart? Do you understand me? Let's pray. Lord, as we start a new year, I'm praying for us. We need your help. We will not know how to live this new year, 2011, without you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come to us right now. Let us decide to start with you. Lord, I know today we can't take all the steps. The only step we can take today is the first one. So God, lead us today in taking that first step of faith to trust you so we can start living the life that you called us, with the beautiful music in harmony with your plan. Thank you, Lord. Pastors, life group leaders are around to pray with you. The altar's open. Come. Come. Look this way, if you will. Has the Lord spoken to you today? Well, two of us. Let me ask that again. Has the Lord spoken to you today? Amen. All right. So what you going to do about it? Therein lies the rub. Let's be praying for one another as we leave here. I send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the blood of Jesus and the authority of our Father God. Bless you. Lord, lead us in this new year in faith. Lead us as a body. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.